This program is brought to you by the Forbes-featured Freedom Hub Health Plan, the alternative to overpriced and restrictive insurance. The Freedom Hub Health Plan is exactly what you need. By Frequency Medicine Associates, supporting health professionals and laypersons with safe and effective advanced telemedicine-like technology that can scan and help rebalance the root causes of stress and illness. By the Planet Lockdown film, which can be seen on the Freedom Hub's Rumble channel along with many great speakers. And by The Pavilion, a 21st century community hub that brings together many of the disruptive innovations featured by the Freedom Hub, including direct pay healthcare, farm-to-table dining, TED-like Freedom Hub talks, and more. Visit your-mp.com/pavilionsolution for details. Welcome, everyone. It's Wednesday, Health, Biz, and Politics. Good show for you. If you're new to the channel or new to the podcast, let me first do a screen share and show you where you can find our events, upcoming speakers, that sort of thing. If my screen share works, you're going to go to your-mp.com, which will be right here. And on the homepage, just click on home and go to webinars. Very simple. And then here is where we have our list, who's this week, who's coming up. And you can subscribe. We recommend that for both of these, both Wednesday Health Biz podcast and Thursday's Freedom Hub podcast. And down below that, you can find our channels. So afterwards, usually after the weekend, things will be posted on BitChute, Brighty, on Rumble, sometimes YouTube, when it's generally the health biz shows, when it's not too controversial. So they've been, of course, censoring us quite a bit. So we are careful about that. Let me stop the share and send it over to you, Charlie.
Thanks, Jim. And we have a great show today because, as I met Steve a few months ago, in trying to learn the ICRA and its combination with sharing for larger groups, I just knew I had to have him on here because among all the Rosetta type advisors we've had present over the years on this weekly show, which now has been going on weekly for five straight years, absent holidays, most of the Rosetta smart advisors are upgrading big business people away from insurance to what's called self-funding. And I'm sure Steve is an expert in self-funding. But now that he is inserting this new payment model called sharing into the bigger groups, that has us very curious because the sponsor of Freedom Hub is a Forbes featured sharing company in that we combine it with HSAs and concierge to help you shop as a cash patient. Not only does Steve at JSA Group insert sharing with ICRAs, the Trump expanded individual coverage health reimbursement arrangement, into ever larger groups, he is also combining it with what a lot of Rosetta advisors are inserting to answer the out-of-pocket problem and navigation problem with mostly regular workers, and that is the DPC model, the monthly subscription payment to a primary care physician who can resolve 80% or more of your basic ills. And so it's revolutionary. I mean, if self-funding no longer is the only alternative to insurance for bigger groups, if now the sharing revolution is arriving to larger companies, that's significant because, you know, in my opinion, I'm sure we'll debate this, with sharing, there's no networks excluding the best doctors you'd actually want for a catastrophe like cancer or heart disease. The plans are basically list bill individual plans, so the worker gets to keep the plan when they leave the company. And they hold your hand so well when you have the cancers. My cousin, as I say it a lot, passed away on a sharing plan, and it was wonderful, at least how the sharing company does help you negotiate the system and make choices. He'll also probably I think, get into the money doubling health matching account discussion, because do you give a HMA to a worker? Do you give them DPC? Do you give them both? How does the HSA fit in here? Folks like that as a tax shelter. Maybe it's not used well enough for the blue collar worker. I remember the term. So anyways, a lot to discuss, Steve, and you're the man on the cutting edge with all of this. ICHRA, sharing, self-funding, funding, DPC, HMAs. The revolution is here, is it not, for bigger companies?
It really is. It really is. And size of the company, I get asked all the time, well, that's great for small companies, but what about bigger companies? Well, that's not the limiting factor. The limiting factor is the way the employer thinks. And kind of what's gone on with, I won't say indoctrination, but everybody's used to doing things a certain way. And it's, even though I used to work with a guy that said, you know, there's a lot of comfort in familiar pain. So that's kind of where we are in the healthcare world, right? Well, gosh, I only got a 12% increase and my great broker got it down to 8. Well, okay, how about 0? So go ahead and jump into the presentation if you want me to do that, and we can go from there. I'll start by saying this is really all we do. This is the only model. We, about 2 years ago, we decided, when the ICHRA legislation came out, we saw how it worked and how it was structured, and we partnered with a couple of the vendors we partnered with. Our entire brokerage now is built around the solution that I'm going to talk about today, with some small variations here and there. If somebody wants to do level funded, self-funded, I'll actually recommend some other guys that they go to do that. We won't even touch it anymore, because we want to be in this lane, and this is where we want to be, and we believe in it that strongly that this is what we do and who we are. So it's just kind of it's easier for us, quite frankly, because then we know exactly what's going on, and we know exactly how we're going to approach an issue that a prospect might be having when we have that conversation with them. So with that said, I will share my screen. There we go. Is that good? Everybody see that?
Yep.
So I think the best place to start, because I don't know how familiar everybody is with the ICHRAs. I don't know if they are.
Not very.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start by actually talking about what an ICHRA is. So it's an individual coverage health reimbursement arrangement. And as Charles said, it came about, the Trump administration passed this as part of the Affordable Care Act. And really what it does, you can do a lot of different things with an ICHRA, but what we do with it and what it was really meant to do originally was to help an employer contribute toward the individual exchange plans for an employee, just like they do a group plan. So that's kind of the gist of it and why it was put together. So now an employer can say, look, my employees can go out and get an exchange plan, and I can contribute X dollars toward that. For larger companies, they have to meet the affordability metric. I can, and we'll talk more about that here in a second, but that was really the main idea behind it. And that's fine, and that is a solution, but we knew when we looked at it, we thought, okay, well, that's part of it, but now we need more to it, and we need a better way. We had been working with health sharing companies for about 3 years prior to this legislation coming out. And we had always kind of, we'd put in a level funded plan, or we'd do some type of plan, and then we'd set an option for the employees of cost sharing next to it. And about 10-15% of the employees would take that option because it was so much less expensive. But we were front ending it with a mech or something limiting like that. So it was kind of a, hey, if this is too expensive for you, let's go do this. Well, in March of 2020, while we were looking at the ICHRA plans, we ran into a company. Well, let me get through this first. So let's talk about the ICHRA, some of the advantages that an ICHRA gives an employer over traditional group health plans. Because I will tell you what we, in our early meetings with a prospect or a client, one of the questions we ask is, would you like to get out of the group health plan business? And they all kind of look at you like, well, yeah, but I can't. Well, yeah, you can. Not only can you get, I can get you out of that business, but provide you a way to give your employees better access to care than they're getting with their group health plan, and more employees. And we'll talk about how we do that. But these are just some of the advantages that an ICHRA gives you, right? Flexibility, because I can choose, the business can choose really any level of contribution. If they're under 50 employees for really small groups, they don't have an affordability metric. They can do anything they want with it. If they're over 50, we have to make sure it's an affordable ICHRA, and we take care of that. No more one size fits all group plans. This model really lets you, and I think you'll see by the end of this presentation, it really allows an employer to tell their employees, look, we're going to give you all kinds of flexibility, and it's going to be up to you what you want to do, but we're going to give you all kinds of different options that you've never had before. It's not the, you know, gold, silver, bronze choice, if they even have that many. We're going to control the cost and the risks. This is huge, because what we always talk to people about, what has your claims experience been like? What's your renewal? What does your renewal look like? And almost every business owner I talk to just about just hates renewal, because you're sitting around waiting. How bad's it going to be? And you get the whole dog and pony show about, it was 15, but we talked them down to 8, whatever that is. And it's just every year it's this battle, and it always goes up. This takes all that out. Claims experience is gone. We don't care what the claims experience is. A bad claim year doesn't mean anything in this model. So, and I'll show you why as we get to this into the rest of the presentation. ACA compliance, that's a really important part, because we got to, again, if you have more than 50 full-time equivalent employees, we got to keep you compliant on the Part B mandate, the affordability. So we've got to make sure that there's an affordability metric built in to the ICHRA contribution, and understand how that's figured and how that works with your employees. What are they paid? What are they making? What's the situation in your area with the plans? So we handle all that for the employer if that's needed. So we've talked a little bit about this, but let's look at some of the biggest problems that employers have when they talk about group health, right? So if you have high claims in any one year, because everybody wants to have a good claims year, but if I have high claims, it's going to lead to my unpredictable increases like we talked about. I mean, I've got clients that are telling me they're getting 29% increases. Some are getting 5. Just, it depends on the group and what's going on. But you don't know. And I don't want to speak ill of my fellow brokers, but they tend to want to wait until it's too late to do anything else to give you what your options are right before renewal. So anyway, so the unpredictable increases are leading to higher costs. I mean, even if you're getting 7% increases a year, which people will tell me doesn't sound bad, that means your premiums are doubling every 8 to 9 years. There's nothing else that a business buys that does that for little or no reason. And then once we start to get into to reduce my costs, I'm going to increase my deductibles, I'm going to change the plan. Now I'm impacting how my employees are accessing care. A lot of group health plans, we see a lot of the employees that either don't take the plan, or if they have the plan, they say, I can't afford to do anything because I have to meet my deductible first. I'm just not doing it. So it's a huge problem. So with our solution, I'm just going to tout this really quickly. So far, we started implementing this, like I said, and we're on our third renewal cycle with a lot of our clients, and we have 100% renewal rate. When an employer puts our solution in, 100% of the benefit eligible employees have some coverage. All their primary care is covered, and it's part of the plan. We're in over 29 states now with this solution. And our average annual increase, last year we had 0 increase. This year we have a 1% increase. And that's not based on claims. That's just because some of the elements of our program and some of the vendors raised their price a little bit, but it was for everybody that's on that. So it's not for any one group, it's for the entire population. And because they did that, they only did it because they were adding benefits. So if you average 1% a year, That's pretty darn good. That takes a long time to double if you're doing that. So the traditional approach, right? Group health plans are all built around the one out of 20 people that's going to go to the hospital and have a large medical bill, which is, that's the average, one out of 20. So the deductibles, all the, which the network, I want to make sure these are in networks. Now that one hospital stay is going to generate a big bill, right? And we want to make sure that those get paid and they have a way to pay those. But what most group health plans ignore or kind of is secondary is, well, what about all the primary preventive care prescriptions that I need? How do I make that easier? And everybody goes the copay route. Well, okay, maybe, maybe not. It just depends on what you're doing and what you're trying to build. We think that's upside down. We think preventive care, primary and preventive care are what keep a lot of chronic diseases from happening in the first place. So if I can access that, I might not have these big hospital bills. So we feel like all employees need that primary and preventive care. So I like this guy. And one of the reasons why we decided, look, we're just going to go to this model is because we got to think differently. If we're going to solve the problem of ever increasing health insurance costs, because I'm going to make a statement here, health care is not that expensive. Health insurance is expensive, and health insurance can make healthcare expensive. So we have to think differently, and we have to kind of come at this from a whole different perspective. So let's look at it this way. We all have car insurance, but do we expect our car insurance to pay for oil changes and tire rotations and the general maintenance on our cars? I don't think so, but we do it because we know if we don't, we're going to have a problem that's going to cost a lot more money. Well, isn't our health the same way? So why do we ignore the front end and the primary care, the preventive care, just to make sure we take care of the catastrophic care and the accident we might have? We need to do both. And we need to focus on the maintenance and taking care of ourselves. And we need health plans or health plan solutions that do that for us. So really, when you break it down, no matter how complicated a plan, whether it's self-funded, level funded, fully insured, no matter what you're doing, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to give employees access to care, the ability to interact with care, and pay for the care that they want and need. That's really what, as a business, that's what we're trying to give our employers to provide to their employees. So back to our pyramid. If we talk about primary and preventive and prescriptions, and this is all going to be bundled into the ICHRA, and I'll show you how that's going to work. But our solution, this piece right here that I'm going to show you was the key to making this whole thing work. And we work with a company called Health Access Solutions out of Naples, Florida. They build a health access benefit. It's an EAP, so it's an employee assistance program. Embedded in that program, we always embed a local direct primary care clinic. So we work with individual clinics, clinic groups. If we have some outlier clients or they have employees that are outside, we have virtual primary care solutions for them. But we try to do on-site virtual care as much as we can, and we embed that into this benefit. So I told Charles, I'm in a client today doing some employee education. It's a 100 employee group. They have a local direct primary care. Those docs are here. One of the guys is here with me talking about that. But we embed this in, and this benefit, this health access benefit, every benefit eligible employee gets this benefit because this is paid for at the employee only level by the employer. That's how we set it up. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on all the benefits in here, but we give reimbursements for vision screenings, dental cleanings. So all the preventive care, they can also keep their own doctor, go to their own doctor for any preventive or wellness visits, whether that's a specialist like a cardiologist, endocrinologist for diabetics, or another primary care doc. Any labs, imaging they have, we're going to reimburse up to $4,000 a year for them for those labs. We pay up to $250 for a gym membership or for weight loss and nutrition programs. We have a prescription card. We use Drexy as the prescription card inside this. So if it's a drug or a prescription that they can't get at the direct primary care, then they have the prescription card they can go to any pharmacy and get. We'll pay for up to $3,000 worth of mental health, substance abuse counseling. And then we'll also help them quit smoking if they want to with $500. Now, that's all built in. So every benefit eligible employee has this. The whole idea behind this is to make sure, we want to make sure that no employee, that there's no financial reason that they don't go get their primary and preventive care. If they just don't want to go, that's a whole nother story. But from a monetary money standpoint, there's no reason why they shouldn't go with this benefit in place. So then for the rest of it, the 100%, the top of the pyramid that we talked about, right? The hospital stay that may occur, we give the employees a choice. You want to do, they can do one or the other, or if they have family members, they can do both. And I'll explain that here in a second. So we can do medical cost sharing, or we can do a traditional individual plan with a company contribution through the ICHRA. So the ICHRA is also the piece that is keeping all this compliant, remember. So it serves multiple purposes. So even if every employee chose medical cost sharing, the employer is still compliant with the ACA mandates because the ICHRA is in place, and that is one of the options. So what we end up with is all eligible employees with a health access benefit. So they have access to doctors, they have a prescription card, they have vision and dental wellness exam dollars that they can use, physical and mental health, and preventive care reimbursements. So all that's built into that. Then normally what will happen is if they have a group health plan in place, we'll say, hey, everybody that's currently in the group plan, let's enroll them in the medical cost sharing. And then if somebody has some specific needs that fit outside the medical cost sharing, pre-existing conditions is usually the issue there, because there's some limitations. It doesn't preclude them from being a cost sharing member. There's just some limitations for that specific condition. So we work with the employee on that. But the great thing about this solution is the flexibility that I talked about earlier. So normally in a family, it's usually one person that has the health issues. So I've got family coverage, but I've got a child that has some special condition that needs help, or my spouse. It's usually not more than one person in the family. So we can actually do a little combination thing here. They all have the health access benefit. Most of the family can do the medical cost sharing as a family, and we can find that person that needs help with a specific condition, find them a separate plan as a one-off, and it's all a lot less expensive than that family having to pay $1,500, $1,800, $2,000 for a family group health plan. And they have better access to care through this whole thing. So the flexibility is really important, and understanding how all this can work together, and understanding the limitations of medical cost sharing, where they are, and how the ICHRA and the traditional plan can work in. So I didn't know how much everybody knew about cost sharing, but I just real quick, medical cost sharing is kind of based on needs. A need is a medical event. So if I fall off a ladder and break my leg, that's a need. I have an initial unshareable amount, and we offer them from $500 to $5,000. So the employer can decide which ones they want to offer. And all that means is that's the amount I'm going to pay for a large medical event. So if I have $1,000 initial unshareable amount and I fall off a ladder and break my leg, I'm going to be responsible for $1,000 of that treatment all the way through. There's no co-insurance after that. There's nothing. That's my responsibility for that need. Anything that exceeds that is fully shareable by the community. And the cool thing about this is, if you're familiar with deductibles, you know that if I get hurt in November, if I break my leg today and I have to have surgery in February, under most plans, I'm going to pay that deductible, whatever it is, twice, because I'm going to pay it for this year, and I'm going to have to pay it after January 1 for next year. with sharing the IUA does not, it follows the need. It doesn't care what time of year it is. So I don't ever pay more than my IUA for that condition, no matter how long treatment goes. If it goes 3 years, I pay it one time. So that's a huge difference and a really a cost saver when you run into that type of thing. You are responsible as an individual or family for 3 needs per year normally, and you pay nothing for eligible needs after that. But with the health access benefit, they actually pay for the 3rd need. So that was another key thing that we loved about those guys when they showed us what they were doing with that EAP, because part of it is, hey, if somebody has 3 needs, we're going to pay their IUA for the 3rd need in a year. So the employee is only responsible for 2. So if I have a $1,000 IUA, it's like having a $2,000 max out of pocket. I'd have to pay that 3rd need, but then I get reimbursed for it. If I have a 4th, 5th, 6th need, if I'm having a really bad year, I have no financial responsibility for those beyond that. So there's some huge advantages to cost sharing. Not only is it less per month, it's a lot less out of pocket if something big happens. The process is pretty simple. I mean, I had an emergency room event about 2.5 months ago. So I show up and, you know, one of the first things they ask you once they stop the bleeding and make sure you're not going to keel over right there, they ask you for your insurance card. Well, as a medical cost sharing member, I just say, nope, don't have a card. I'm a cost sharing member. I want to just bill me. Cash rate, bill me at the cash rate. That's the thing. And I'm sure most of you know that the insurance rate is way up here and the cash rate's way down here. So I was at a Mercy hospital. She said, oh, great. Our cash copay is $150. Gave her my credit card, paid my $150. 2 weeks later, I get a bill for $6,000 in the mail. I turn around, scan it, send it, log into my member portal, send it to the sharing company. They will then turn around and you can do it one of two ways. You can have that sent. They'll negotiate it. They negotiated it down to about $3,400 from $6,000. They can either send you the money and you pay the hospital, or they'll pay the hospital directly and then the hospital will bill you the balance. So I'd already paid $150, so I only owed $850 more to the hospital because the sharing company paid them the rest of it. So again, I forgot to put that up, but you have a choice. You can say, hey, send me the money, I'll pay the bill, the provider, or tell the sharing company, you pay it. And then I'll get billed the difference. Most people do it that way or want to do it that way. If somebody chooses the individual coverage arrangement for the traditional plan, so this is in place. When we build this for an employer, the health access folks they act as the TPA for the ICHRA. They actually build the ICHRA so it's affordable for the companies that need it to be, for those over 50 full-time employees. Because everything's age banded, right? The exchange plans are all, every year is a different price for the most part. So they have to build that table in to meet the affordability metric for that. So we do all that ahead of time during the quoting process. We provide the support for the employee. We help them find a plan, source that plan, set up payment and the reimbursement. And then the employer has the ICHRA model, so they know how much they're going to contribute for that age group or that age band if somebody picks that plan. And then a couple of ways we can fund the premium. The employee can pay it and get reimbursed by the employer. A lot of times what will happen is the employer will just pay that employee up front in a non-taxable addition to their pay at the end of the month, and then take the employee portion out via payroll deduction the rest of the following month. So it's flexible on how that can be done, and it all works. And that's really it. I mean, it's not enormously complicated. But what we found was that this was a great way to differentiate ourselves and our offering, but also really give employers a real option to do something completely different that's less expensive. If normally we end up with this, we end up actually putting this into a lot of employers on the smaller side that aren't doing anything. and they do this because it's so much less expensive than what they've looked at. On the larger employers that obviously have to have something in place, if they have any participation at all, and they're doing a decent contribution toward their existing plan, we're saving them a ton of money and allowing them to provide a benefit for every benefit eligible employee, not just the few that sign up for the health plan, but everybody gets the health access benefit. So it's a great tool for them for recruiting and retention and saying, hey, yeah, we offer something to everybody. So want me to stop my share? Let's see here.
Thank you, Steve. That was great. Yeah, we get a lot of people, I mean, that are going to look at this on Rumble or YouTube, for example, that have no idea what this is. So I know we have a pretty educated audience here, you know, group listening in, but otherwise, it's good that you're going over some of the basics for that. Charles, are you actually there with a question? I see a hand raised.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Steve, just as amazing as I thought, you got all the bases covered. I got a few questions. I'll just kind of rattle them off and let you kind of ask them as you will. You know, so as a fellow agent selling sharing, you know, I think what you want to kind of reiterate is how happy are your sharing customers once they get into it? So hold that thought. That's one question. You know, how much better do they like it than insurance? Number two, you mentioned the health matching account, you know, the double.
Oh yeah, and I do. You know what? I've got a couple of slides on that. I can go back and show. I did put a couple of slides at the end in case you want to see that.
Okay.
You're breaking up. He's breaking up. I heard the first part.
Yeah. So how happy testimonials, customers, and in fact, we could talk more about that. And then, talk about the HMA a little bit.
Yeah. So as far as clients, and that's why this is education intensive, as you might guess, because it's so different. And employees, there's, like I said, there's a certain amount of comfort in that card, but they're paying a lot for it. Once people understand how to use the sharing and how it works in conjunction with the health access benefit, and they use it correctly, they love it. And it's not as scary as they thought it was going to be. Because most people have had an experience where they've been to the hospital, they get balance bills 2-3 months later, 4-6 months later, they have no idea what that is. What the heck was this for? I forgot what I was even there for. With sharing, you just turn all that in. Once you've started your need, the other great thing about the sharing companies, and we use two main ones, both of them, when you call the customer service number, a human being actually answers the phone. And one of them's in Austin, Texas, and the other's in Utah. I mean, you don't have to sit on hold, know six different extensions. If you already have a need open and you have a needs coordinator, you just ask for them. So they kind of do a lot of the hand holding and the walking through. The challenge for the employees is getting a feel for how it works because it is so much different. And just understanding that. And that's why we have to be completely available for questions and contact information. But it's education intensive. But once they use it and once they've had an event, it's so much less expensive and so much easier.
And then the HMA?
Yeah, so the HMA, we do use a product through, it's a health matching account. We actually use the health matching reimbursement version of that account more. So it's employer funded. And kind of the way it works, I tell people it's kind of like a healthcare 401k. It's not a pre-tax thing, but the employer contributes a certain amount and you have a target. So if it's a $5,000 target, it's, I think at that level, it's like $80 a month that the employer is going to contribute toward that. At the end of 35 months, you've got 5,000. If you don't use it at all, you can use it along the way. But if you don't, you're going to have $5,000 at the end of 35 months. But the employer's only put in about 2,400 because the TPA actually matches those. It's an increasing percentage match every month to the contribution that's going in. And so it grows faster than what's actually being put in. We have a number of clients that fund that, will fund that because they're saving so much money. They put in our solution and they say, well, I'm worried about my employees having anything out of pocket, even though they're going to get reimbursed. I don't want them to be out of pocket. So we implement this. The employee then has a HMRA MasterCard. That's where their funds get loaded. They go to a doctor, they swipe it. They go get prescriptions, they swipe it. So it's a great way for the employer to even add more benefit. And they're adding a larger benefit and contributing. They don't have to contribute that full amount.
Hi, Steve. My name is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Great presentation. I really appreciated it. Couple of questions for you. What is the average price range for like a 30-year-old male?
Okay. I just happen to have one of my sheets here because I'm doing a presentation. So the version we're using here is $1,000 IUA with the whole health access benefit with all the everything I showed you there. So if you're 30 to 49 years old, for employee only, it's $80.77 every 2 weeks. That's their pay structure. So we do it weekly. So per month, you know, do that times 26 divided by 12.
So is that the employee's portion or the total cost?
Well, that's the employee portion because the employer is paying $144 a month for the health access for that employee. So if you want the total cost, it'd be 80. So the total cost is $319. For $1,000 IUA, all the health access benefit and the sharing.
That's or awesome.
Yeah. And if you're 29 and under, it's less than that. It's
Yeah.
It's 150. It's about 200 and oh, I think it's 294.
Amazing. So if I just understand where you were going with all of this. So for larger companies, you'd be able to fulfill the ACA requirements by using the ICHRA while still offering the cost sharing option to others. But for smaller companies, you would use the ICHRA for those people who don't fit, who need that ACA type of coverage. Pre-existing conditions or whatever. Is that correct?
Right. That's correct. And that's what we use it for in any of our groups, small or big. But we have to make sure it's a compliant ICHRA with a larger company because we have to meet that affordability metric, an affordable ICHRA. With a smaller company, it doesn't really matter. They can kind of set their contribution wherever they want.
Gotcha. So you don't have to come in with a larger company with that, here's the Blue Cross Blue Shield silver level coverage for everybody, but also there's this option. You could just say, hey, ICHRA, they can go out on the market, get their silver level coverage, and we will contribute the 50% or whatever, and then have this secondary option if they want to opt out of the marketplace plan and take the cost sharing.
Yeah, that's it. And we have to use a benchmark plan to do the affordability buy if that's required, but we really don't show a traditional exchange plan during the presentation. We just say, hey, you can choose anyone you want. We don't care.
Yep.
Some people choose gold, some people go bronze.
Yep. So, and the last question I had was far as licensing, because I know cost sharing plans we could sell in any state, but for that health access benefits, is there licensing requirements?
No, it's an EAP. It's awesome. Not insurance. It's an employee assistance program. The only thing you need a license for is if you're going to sell the exchange plans, and we had to go through all the exchange approvals and get it set up with all the carriers there.
And what cost sharing plan are you partnering with? Can I ask?
We partner with both Zion and Sedera. We use them both.
Awesome. Know them well. Thank
you. They're really the only two that I know of that are really geared for the group market. Everything else is kind of individuals, and they'll say, yeah, we do groups too, but it's really, they're kind of clunky. These two kind of have it nailed down.
And I think they have both developed great reputations in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, that they've solidified their reputation, their services, their financial stability. So thank you. This is a great presentation.
Thank you.
Steve, Charlie here. You can hear me, Jim?
Yes, sir.
What about for the small group market where you wouldn't want to get licensed in all those states, and for lack of a better word, the sick workers for whom the pre-existing condition phase-in will be a problem with the sharing? You just give them healthsherpa.com, which is so fast to get an estimate of what you would pay.
That's a great comment. Yeah, if you don't want to do it yourself and go through those steps, then just do something like that.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And we partner with the same two sharing companies you just mentioned. I think on LinkedIn, every Rosetta type agent refers to those two sharing organizations.
Yeah, well, they're good.
Yeah.
Looks like Robin Kemp has a question.
Robin.
Oh, hi. Cindy asked the question about the medical cost sharing. Are you familiar with MPB, Empowering Benefits, and a few extra layers that they offer?
I mean, I've heard of them. No, I'm not in depth familiar with what they're doing.
Okay. So I was just curious if clients got their own medical cost sharing. I guess you make the recommendation and just go from there. It sounds like.
Well, we do it this way because we're presenting it as a group health plan solution, right?
Sure.
So we're coming in, we want to make sure we try to hit as many of the buttons as we can on what they need, because the initial consultation we have, we don't even talk product with a prospect. We ask them what they're currently doing, if they're doing anything, what they want to do, what's the problem, what's working, what's not working. So we then try to kind of tailor the presentation toward that.
And do you charge the employer for the TPA portion?
There's a fee built. The Health Access has a fee built in for that. It's part of the price. So the $144 I told you includes a TPA fee. It's in there.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And do you have a sweet spot on employee size?
You know, we don't. We have, I mean, I've got groups as small as five. But Health Access, their largest group is 1,100. My personal largest group is about 300.
Okay. It's my understanding with the ICHRA too that employers can kind of do carve outs. Let's say you have a group that's in a state where they have employees in another state. So the employees in another state can do the ICHRA, and maybe in the corporate headquarters state, they want a traditional group health insurance plan. Painting a picture, is that an option?
Yes, you can segment the ICHRA by employee class. So for example, you could say, hey, my salaried workers are gonna be on this group health plan, but my hourly workers, this is what I'm gonna offer to them,
the ICHRA. Okay.
So it's good, and you have to have at least 10 in a class. So you can't have a...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it has to be at least 10 and to make an ICHRA class.
Oh, I didn't know that part. Thank you.
Question, Steve, what do you do for marketing? I mean, obviously it sounds like education is the biggest piece of this puzzle right now. Mm-hmm. Are there any associations or, you know, groups that are helping people like yourself and organizations that to get the word out, to support you, to get doctors to understand what this is?
Yeah. So what we've done, it's a great question. What we've done is we've actually partnered with DPC clinics, like I said earlier, and DPC clinic groups mostly. So the account I'm at now I'm working with a guy a group that has four clinics throughout Southeast Missouri. So most of those clinic groups have a marketing person that's supposed to be out there trying to build membership, because remember, DPCs, while it's very popular, they're still kind of in their infancy and they're trying, they build these clinics. Now it's like, okay, now how do we fill it? Well, the fastest way to fill it is with employer groups, right? Because I bring them in bunches. And the folks we work with love our solution because I, you know, if a company has, in the case I'm at today, they have 92 employees, they're going to get 92 members because they're all, they all get the health access benefit with the DPC built in. And they figured out, whoa, this is a quick way to add membership in bunches. So we, that's been our marketing. I mean, if you go to my website, you'll see it's not the most tremendous website in the history of the world, but we actually use those DPC clinics as our marketing arm. And we're partnering with a number of them in different parts of the country to do that.
Have anyone, have you, the associations, produced any good videos or from your clients with testimonials that you can easily show to other organizations and get some of these CEOs we hear that are, you know, very stubborn or closed-minded to start to open up and go, hey, maybe this is a solution.
Yeah, we haven't made any with the whole solution. We've got, you know, videos, there's some video testimonials out there for sharing for some of the sharing companies. So we haven't put together a video with, hey, this entire solution, here's some folks that have it, here's how it works, because it's got the primary care built in, we got the sharing and the preventive care reimbursements and all that. So no, we don't have that.
Got it. Anyone else, questions from the group? So you're with a new client or just an existing client right now?
This is a new one. They're a 1-1 effective.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right. And that came from the DPC recommendation. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. What would you like to see in the future? I mean, in terms of if you could get support or the sharing companies to do something to help grow the business, what would be like your top couple of suggestions?
Oh, I think, and I've had some pretty in-depth conversations with Sedera specifically recently. They need to understand where they fit in the mix. That they all have a sales force, and their sales force seems to think that sharing is the solution. Sharing is just part of the solution. It's an integral part of the solution, but it's not the solution. There's too many holes. That's why you have to add the direct primary care, the EAP with the preventive reimbursement, the prescription plan, all, and then the option to go outside of sharing if needed, all in under one umbrella. So getting the sharing companies to understand where they fit in the model and how they can actually market this solution themselves through people that, like myself, that know how to do it. So that I'm actually working on that with them now to try to, hey, let's get your sales force up to speed on what this total solution looks like, because running out there trying to sell cost sharing is a limited proposition.
Yeah, and it's always going to come back at you if you don't have those other elements, right?
You don't have a full health plan for an employer. You've got a piece.
Yeah. Somebody asked if you have any possible client or you're taking any clients or you work in the Indianapolis area.
So what we do is we're working with primary care clinics in Florida. We've got a pilot going on with a fairly large company in New Jersey where they've got some capacity, a clinic. So we can go anywhere. We travel all over to do this because the health access guys will travel. They know the entire solution really well, like I do. So we worked closely to put that together.
All right. Any last questions up there? I might give you 10 minutes to get ready for your presentation. Let's see. Well, how would you want to wrap up? Give us some closing thoughts and how people can reach you.
Well, yeah. So Charles has my contact information, but my email is simply my first initial last name. So it's S Alley, S-A-L-L-E-Y. And yes, I know that spells Sally. I didn't think that one through. But it's SAlley@JSAGroupLLC.com. And I'll be glad to, you know, if you have questions, if you're a broker, advisor, and you want to get involved in this, I can introduce you to the players that we use, because our whole mindset is the more this gets out there in the market, I don't have to do it all. I can't do it all. I know that. And more people out there that we have doing this, the faster this model is going to become more mainstream. Because I'll be real honest with you. There's a lot of times we'll do this presentation for a client. We'll show them significant savings, like, you know, it's a couple hundred thousand dollars. And they still look at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not doing that. It's like they think it's snake oil, or they think it's, you know, I'm, you know, snake handling or something. I don't know. That still happens.
Well, that's maybe where, you know, that video and the other corporate testimonials and things would fit in and help. I don't know. I come out of that background of video.
Yeah.
So that's
what But the more we do, the more people we have doing this and showing that it does work, and the more employers that we get on board, just, it's just going to continue to pile on. So I'm happy to help anybody along in the process to work with them, or just introduce them to people that they can start working with. Either one works for me.
Great. Steve, thanks for joining us. And it's great information. We appreciate it. And everything will be up in a couple of days. And this will be a good presentation to share as well, right? I'm sure you have others, but thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.